The Holy Gospel according to John, the 15th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in my love as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. I invite the young people to meet me at the baptismal font. So I brought a treat with me today. I brought some grapes. Would you like one? Do you like grapes? Huh? Do you like grapes? Do you like grapes?
Thank you.
I like grapes. I think these ones, they're a little darker red, are a little sweeter though. Did you get one of those?
I got a grape.
You got a grape? Does it taste good?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're sweet, aren't they? Do you know how you grow grapes?
I don't know.
You don't know? Where do we get grapes from? We get grapes from a grapevine, huh? Yeah, that's what we do. We get grapes from a grapevine. And grapevines need a lot of care to grow because, you see, when they grow, they just keep growing and growing and growing if they weren't tended. And Clara, would you come over here with me? You're going to pretend like you're a grapevine, okay? Here's the vine, and then there are branches, and the branches spread out like that. Okay, and the only thing that would be different with a regular grapevine is you'd need two more arms because they'd come out about your waist there, and they'd be put on wires, and every year the branches get cut off because the grapes are produced only on the new growth. So think about that if we cut off your arms every year. Is that a good deal or not?
I do not want my gums.
You don't want that, huh?
Okay.
Well, that's what happens to grapes, so that grapes can be produced. They cut off the branches and they get new branches and the grapes grow on the new fruit, on the new growth. So we have grapes because somebody tended to the vines and took care of them and cut off the old dead branches so that there could be new growth that happened. Every year, all the grapes we have come in that way. Now, you may be wondering, why do I have us next to the baptismal font? Even if you're not wondering that, you may know. And that is to think about how we are connected with Jesus. In our reading today, Jesus says, I am the vine. And he talks about the relationship with his disciples as branches. And so by water and the word, we are connected to Jesus, so that we might bear fruit in our lives. That's the good news about this, about grapes and the baptismal font. I would like to redesign the baptismal font, though. It has Easter lilies on it. That's okay for one side. I think we need a vine and branches and grapes on another side, too. But I think that marble is too far gone. I don't think we can quite get that anyway. So remember the grapes every time you see grapes. They grow on vines, and that's like our relationship with Jesus, that he's the vine and we're the branches. Amen. You may return to your seats. Last week, we reviewed our mission, vision, values, statements that we've had for quite a while in our time together after this service last week. And we also looked at a relatively new welcome statement. And the last two lines of the welcome statement say, "All are welcome here, all are redeemed by a gracious God." You could put the word "because" between those two lines. All are welcome here because all are redeemed by a gracious God. I'm not suggesting we do that because that kind of takes away from the poetic nature of how those things flow together, but at least in my thinking, that's how I see the connection of those two. Now, this very welcoming version of faith stands in contrast to some other versions of the Christian faith that are expressed. Last week on the radio program, This American Life, the story was told of Pentecostal evangelical pastor Carlton Pearson, who came to an inclusive understanding of the gospel and the kind of conflict that caused for him and in his congregation. Steve Palmer, a member of that congregation, said, "Growing up in an evangelical church, people thought, what's the best way to get our kids' attention? I know, let's scare them. And so we ask questions like, do you like to burn? No. Do you like to spend, would you like to spend forever in darkness? No. And well, then you'd better turn." And he said, that's how most of us got saved, was we chose because the alternative for faith, the alternative was just scary. This is kind of a faith that's formed out of fear. Now, perhaps this may be your experience of faith. Your introduction into the faith was one forged out of fear. You'd better do this or else kind of thing. But I have to say to you that that wasn't my experience. My earliest theological teaching that I can remember was that Jesus is the Good Shepherd. Last week's gospel reading. Jesus is the Good Shepherd. And I remember sitting in the preschool Sunday school room that had a table with a flat top, but you could take the top off, and it was actually a sand table. And you could play with the toys that were in the sand table. And we were always told, don't get sand on the floor. And we always got sand on the floor. But I remember sitting in that table. We were giving a picture of a pasture, and Jesus was standing there, and we were given sheep stickers that we had to lick. This was back in the olden days where we had to lick our own stickers to put them on. And we would put them on that picture. And so I learned Jesus is the Good Shepherd, and he cares for you. Now, that's about the extent of a four-year-old's theological thought, but it just seemed to feel good to me that Jesus was the Good Shepherd. Now, I would tell you that I came to faith because being baptized as an infant and participating in the life of a congregation, faith was really formed by caring, trusting, loving relationships, not out of fear. Now, I don't want to exclude fear from the faith formation process because I understand God's word comes to us as law and gospel. That is, there is God's expectations upon us, and then there is also God's the things that God does for us. And if you especially take away the gospel, that law part can seem really fearful kind of thing to face. So there can be fear indeed there. But if this has formed your faith, there's also maturing of faith that needs to take place to move you out of fear. So I would point you toward our second reading this morning, starting with verse 16. So we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so we are in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. So notice in that how faith is really maturing. It's growing. It doesn't stay simply with fear, but it matures into love. Perfect love casts out fear. And we love, not because God tells us to or else he's going to get us, but we love because God first loved us. So God loves you and me. What's the direction in that? What's this so what? Is it just give thanks? Is there something more to that? Well, Jesus says in our gospel, I am the vine, and my Father is the vine grower. Jesus claims the ancient image for Israel, for the people of God, as the vineyard that God has planted. And the prophets talked about this vineyard, this people has only given wild grapes, not the real grapes that God intended. It's a sign of Israel's unfaithfulness. And now Jesus says that he is the true vine, the one on whom God's purpose rests. And then he says, he removes every branch in me that bears no fruit, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. There is a word of judgment in there, isn't there? And we might fear that, but notice the direction of this. The direction is that God desires fruitfulness. God desires that something is produced in this relationship, that there is a bearing of fruit. And then he says to his disciples, you have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Now it's important to note that these words are spoken to Jesus' disciples on the last night Jesus has before his crucifixion. And so these words are already speaking words of forgiveness and new life, even before Jesus' death and resurrection. So he tells them, by my word, you have been made clean. The word of forgiveness is there and prepares for the new life. And then he says, those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit. Because apart from me, you can do nothing. So the key to a fruitful life, then, is abiding in Christ. This connects us back to the beginning in Genesis, where God blesses the man and woman whom he has created and says to them, be fruitful and multiply. That's the purpose given by God to us, to be fruitful and multiply. And those words speak both of caring for the creation, that it becomes better qualitatively, and it becomes better quantitatively. So the quest then for us is, how do we abide in Christ? How do we abide in Christ's love? Well, thinking about our mission statement again, it gives us some direction. It talks about growing in faith and discipleship, that this is something that we're a part of in our lifelong journey of faith, loving and serving God and neighbor, and by proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. The fruitfulness comes out of that abiding in Christ. Last Saturday, it was a beautiful sunny Saturday, warmer than yesterday. I was out working in my garden. And I went from my garden because I needed to get something out of my garage, went from the back of my house around to the front, and there standing before me was a guy holding a Bible with a kind of identification card with his picture on it and said, "Would you like to talk about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ?" My response didn't take that kind of hesitation at all. I said, "No." I could have said, I thought, "Well, I get to do that every Sunday morning." But that would have made it a longer conversation. You could have said that too, because that's what we do when we gather. We talk about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I could have said, "I'm talking about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by what I'm doing this afternoon, working in my garden, getting it ready to be fruitful." And I'm sure that would have been an even longer conversation. But I give thanks and praise to God for God's fruitfulness in preparing the garden. I am participating in the fruitfulness of creation and the life that God desires for us. My brothers and sisters, God's love matters. It is the root of all fruitfulness in life. God's love matters. It is the root of all fruitfulness in life. Amen.